We are holding on Peches Omer Beis of Omer of Yeshua Levi, the two dots, the last two dots, 11 lines from bottom, along the Gimel Tikri. Still in the middle of talking about Matan Torah, the Omer of Yeshua Levi, the Shah Sha'olam Moshe Lamorin, when Moshe went up on high to receive the Torah, Omer Malach HaSharis, the Kenyat Kodesh Baruch Hu, so Malach HaSharis said to Hashem, Ribon Shalom, Mali Lud Isha Beinenu. What is a man born of woman doing among us? Omer Lahen, Hashem says, what do you mean, what is he doing over here? The Kabbal Torah Ball. He came to receive the Torah. Omer Lafonav, so Malach said, what are you doing giving the Torah to human beings? Send Hamuda Gnuza, the precious hidden away thing. She Gnuza Lachot Shameis V'Shivim V'Abba Doris, Kodim Shenivra Olam, which is hidden away for 974 with you for 974 generations before the world was created. How do we get 974? So Rashi explains that originally Hashem's plan was to give the Torah after 1,000 years. Davat Sivola Elof Dur, we say in Hodu. But Hashem realized, so to speak, that the world is not going to be able to last for 1,000 years, for not 1,000 years, 1,000 generations. Without the Torah, you think about it, a generation, generally speaking, is 25, 30 years or whatever. So if you're talking about thousands of years, if you're talking tens of thousands of years before the Torah would be given, so Hashem decided that won't work. So he gave it in the end after only 26. So therefore, you have 974 generations that are missing. 9,000 minus 26 is 974. The Gemara has an expression about it in Chagigah. That you have the various mechutzafim that you have in all the generations come from the neshamas that was supposed to have been during those 974 generations. Rashi also mentions the interesting point over here. What? Mechutzafim, people have chutzpah. Yeah. Rashi also mentions over here that all of this was during the alpayim shana shekar matoda la'olam. How 974 generations fit into 2,000 years is a whole other question.
Right.
But yeah, so how 974 generations fit into 2,000 years? Another question. We're holding on Peches on the bays near the bottom by the two dots. In any case, though, the point is that most of us, I think, over here learned about Mitzvah Maimer back in the day, and you may remember that when it says there, Alpayim Shana Kodem Torah La'olam, that it explains there it doesn't actually mean 2,000 years, because no years before Ma'aseh Bereishis. It means the Torah has an advantage over the physical world related to two Elohs, related to Aleph Chachma, Aleph Chabina, whatever. Anyway, the point is that the Malachim are saying the Torah is so precious that you had it with you even before the world was created. And you want to give the Torah to her to flesh and blood, as the Pasuk says in Tehillim, in Kapitel Ches, Ma Enish Kisis Giranu, what is man, especially Enish means a weak man, that you should remember him, Uven Adam Kisis Giranu, what is the son of man that you should mention him, Hashem Adeninu, Mo'adashim Chabachal Oret, Hashem, our master, how glorious is your name in the whole world, and here's the key point that they're saying, Asher Tzna Hoidcha Al Shemayim, your Hoid, your glory, meaning the Torah, should be in Shemayim, shouldn't be down on earth. As Rashi says, what the pasuk means is, in other words, you have such great glory on the earth, you don't need to have the Torah over there. You need to have your Torah in Shemayim only. Amalei Hakadosh Baruch Hu Moshe. So Hashem says to Moshe, "Hasul b'hen shuvah." Give them an answer. Amalei Lefanav. So Moshe says, "Ribono shel Olam, Misyarani Shema Yisrufuni behevel shebapiyam." I'm afraid that they're going to burn me with the breath of their mouths. Malachim are beings made of fire, so they're going to burn me. We'll learn the story on the simple sense first, and then we'll talk about various aspects of it as the Mefarshim explain, as Siddur explain. Amalei, so Hashem tells him, "Achoy b'kisei kvodi v'chazur lahem shuvah." Hold on to my kisei hakavod, which, so to speak, will protect you, and give them an answer. Shenema, and we know that Moshe held on to the kisei hakavod. Shenema, as the pasuk says, "Ma'aches pnei kisei parshes olav anonai." He holds on to the face of the kisei, parshes of the throne. Parshes on him his cloud. What does parshes mean? The Amr of Nachum. So Rav Nachum explains, what does parshes malama? It's an unusual word. The Torah Tzvima has an interesting explanation. He says a lot of times we find like this: a shortish of a word in Lashon Kodesh is usually three letters. Most words in Lashon Kodesh have a three-letter shoresh. So whenever we find something where you have a four-letter shoresh or a five-letter shoresh, which is a bit unusual, then that leads the Chachamim to darshan it. So over here, it seems to be a four-letter shoresh because none of these letters are prefixes and suffixes. So therefore, the Gemara often explains that such words are made up of two words jammed together. Malamet shepiras shakai miziv shchina. So it means that Hashem spread out the glory of His shchina. So parshe is an abbreviation for piras shakai ziv. And he had his cloud protecting Moshe. And then now Moshe is ready to answer. So we see from this pasuk, in other words, we see that this pasuk is hinting at Moshe standing over there in front of the Kisei HaKavod, and Hashem spreading his Shechina over him, and Moshe holding on to the Kisei HaKavod in order to be able to safely answer the Malachim. No, obviously the Kisei HaKavod is not a physical thing. Obviously nothing when it comes to how the course is physical. So, okay, so I guess we might as well mention one point over here that a couple of the Mephoshim say is that holding on to the Kisei HaKavod itself is part of the answer. First of all, that you have that a Gashmiyistika being, after all, Moshe Rabbeinu is a Neshama B'guf, is able to have some connection to the Kisei HaKavod already shows that there's a connection between Gashmiyus and Ruchnius, which the Malachim don't want there to be. They want the Torah to stay in Shemayim. So therefore, that itself is part of the answer already. In particular, we know the Kisei HaKavod. What does it say? What does Chazal tell us? That the Neshamas of the Jewish people are taken from under the Kisei HaKavod. So therefore, so that itself, that he's holding on to the Kisei HaKavod, is already the beginning of the answer. Anyway, on the Lefanov, so Moshe starts saying like this, Rebbeinu Shlomo, Torah Sha'atan Moshe, Maksiva, this Torah that you're going to be giving me, what does it say in it? Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Hoceitzich Mitzrayim, I am Hashem who took you out of Mitzrayim. On the Lehen, so he turns to the Malachim and says, Mitzrayim Yeradzim, did you guys go down to Mitzrayim, the Parei Shabadzim, were you slaves to Parei, in the Beis HaVadim? Torah Lomo Teilachem, so what do you need the Torah for? Shuv Maksiva, what is the next thing that says? Lo yilachal lekim acherim, you shouldn't have any other gods. Do you need that? Bein anan afin shuyim sha'ovna avodis gibolim. Do you live among other nations who worship avodah zarah that you're going to be tempted into that you need a Torah to tell you not to do that? Shuv Maksiva, zachar etiyam ha-shabbos ha-kadshoi. What next does it say? Keep Shabbos. Kulmatim oitim malacha shatim tzuchim shuvos. Do you guys do work that you need to rest on Shabbos? Shuv Maksiva, Loisita. Now it says Loisita. Naturally, I mean, Yom HaShabbos and Kisita are out of order. Kisita comes first. There are actually Kisva Yad that put Loisita first in Moshe's argument and then Zohar, but I saw an explanation that we can keep the Girsa the way we have it here in the Gemara, because first Moshe is mentioning the ones that have been Adam Lamakim, Anoichi Lo Yilcha and Zohar is Yom HaShabbos. I mean, Loisita is also, but Loisita already has more to do with business, because when does a person swear falsely? Often when it's involving business, and then it goes more naturally with Kabed and the rest of the ones that are also been out of Machaber. Okay, so Shuv Maksiva Loisita, the Torah continues, don't take Hashem's name in vain. What do you guys need that? Do you guys do business among yourselves? What's the most common case where a person is taking a Shavua and the Torah needs to warn him not to? Is where, as we have these days in Rambam, for example, you know, that you have a case in Beis Din. Reuven claims X, Shimon claims Y, and then one or the other of them has to take a Shavua that what he's telling is true. That's the most common case. You guys, you malachim, don't have any of that. Yeah, what does it say? Honor your father and your mother. You guys don't have that. Do you have a father or a mother that you're the spiritual being? You were created directly by Hashem. You don't have parents. But Hashem himself created, they're not born from a mother and a father like human beings are. Are you guys jealous of each other? Do you even have a yetzahara that would get you to do these kinds of averes? By the way, when it says over here kina yeshbachem, Gilyan Ashaf refers to actually you have a Rashi in Bereshit that mentions over there that Hashem was so to speak forced to create Adam out of partly earth and partly heaven, namely that he has a gashmiyistik a guf but a ruchniyistik in the shama. Otherwise, there's jealousy among the malachim. There's jealous that they're going to be jealous that the earth has more creations than heaven do. So what do you mean that we're saying over here? There's no jealousy. So among the answers is the malachim aren't jealous of each other. They may be jealous of human beings. You have in other places also. You have, for example, it says that when they saw Yaakov sleeping over there by Hara Maria, and they saw that his image, so to speak, is on the kif, they are covered, so they started getting jealous of him, and Hashem had to protect him. So malachim can be jealous of people, but they're not jealous among each other, is Moshe's point over here. Okay. Miyad hoydu lo laKadosh Baruch Hu. So right away they agreed with Hashem that it's right to give the Torah to human beings, to the Jewish people. Shenema, as that same capital until it finishes off, Hashem adeninu mo'ad shimcha v'gaima. Hashem, our Lord, how glorious is your name? And they say the same thing, mo'ad shimcha b'chal aret. V'ilu tna hoydcha ala shemayim lo'ikfid. They don't continue with what they continue earlier in the pasuk, in pasuk bays of that capital, put your glory on the heavens. So in other words, they're conceding that point. Hashem's glory doesn't have to be in the heavens anymore. It can come down onto earth. So what's going on over here? So one point is, Marsha and then some other Mephoshim make the point that really what the Malachim primarily were arguing against that Hashem should give to the Jewish people is Sodis, that Torah, the secret to the Torah. The nigla of Torah, fine, they had to agree. Look, I mean, you know, human civilization needs laws, and, you know, the Jewish people need extra laws because the Mamlachas Kohenim would go Kodesh. Fine, it's reasonable enough that the dinim themselves and then whatever, the nigla of Torah should be given to human beings, should be given to the Jewish people. But they had a problem with that the nister should be given. And the Moshe is explaining to them that, well, even the nigla of Torah is not really so applicable to you, at least not on a trap level. So ultimately, all of the Torah is needed, the Nigla and the Nister, is needed by human beings, and I had to end up agreeing that that's correct. He gives many different examples, exactly, yeah. He gives actually seven different examples. He gives seven different examples. I think Ben Yehoyada talks about the significance of why he gave them seven different examples. Whatever it is, yeah. One interesting point also, a number of achronim talk about, you can find it in various Sifrei Drush, that the argument, and then the Rebbe has a sikha in Chelek Yudches analyzing this in some detail, that the argument between the Malachim and Moshe Rabbeinu essentially revolved around the dinim of Bar Mitzvah. We know there's a din. We know there's a din in Bava Metzia and in Rambam Hilchos in Hilchos Shchenim and in Shulchan Aruch and Choshen Mishpat. That if you have Reuven is getting ready to sell a field of his, and he wants to sell it to somebody else who doesn't live nearby, and Shimon, who has a neighboring field, wants to buy it for the same price, then you have to allow Shimon to buy it, and even if the other person bought it, that Shimon is entitled to take it over and then refund him his money, because better for Shimon this way. This way he has two adjacent fields, and he can treat them all as one big field. So therefore, so the explanation is the Malachim are essentially arguing the Torah is something ruchniistic. It's Chochmot Rasonei Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're its closest neighbors, so to speak, because the Torah is in Shemayim and we live in Shemayim. Therefore, we deserve to have the Torah and not that it should be on earth. And Moshe Rabbeinu is explaining to them that no. So now why packages of Din of Bar Mitzvah not apply in this case? So those various Sforim talk about a half dozen different reasons. The Rebbe talks about in the Sicha and Chelek Yudches, it's Sholo many of those reasons, that they're not really, that for either that they're not so applicable over here, or that at least in Moshe's answer to them, those answers are not, those various answers that the Mephoshim offer are not really implied in what Moshe is saying over there. So ultimately what the Rebbe answers is, you have one of the Din of Bar Mitzvah is, suppose you have that Shimon, the neighbor who wants the field, wants it for the same purpose as any other field, in order to plow and plant it and cultivate it and whatever. And meanwhile, you have Levi, the other person who wanted to buy it in the first place, wants to use it to build houses. Then there's no din by mitzvah. Because the fact that you want to build houses, the fact that you want to build a place to live, is more important than fields to cultivate. So therefore, we Jewish people need the Torah in order to make a house for Hashem, in order to make a Dirim Tachtonim. So Moshe is explaining to them, fine, of course on a Ruchniistic level, these mitzvahs apply to you as well. Everything in the Gashmiistic world has a source in Ruchnius. So yes, the mitzvah of Anochi has a counterpart in Ruchnius, the mitzvah of Lo Yilcha has a counterpart in Ruchnius and all the other ones, but the Torah was not given just for the sake of Ruchnius. The Torah was given in order to make a Dirim Tachtonim. Only we Jewish people who are here in the Tachtonim can do that. Therefore, it has to be given to us so we can keep them on a simple level. And the Malachim had to concede the argument. Okay.
But what do the Malachim understand about Tachtonim? I mean, it means ridiculous.
That's part of it also. Part of the argument, where another one of the acronyms talks about that part of the malachim in the argument, was something along the lines of, look, you know, for us, it's instinctive to do whatever Hashem says. Haitochen, that human beings who don't have that instinct, who have the capability of doing wrong, of not obeying Hashem, that they should receive the precious Torah. And Moshe is explaining to them that that's just it. We need the Torah a lot more than you do, and we're going to be using it for purposes that you can't even conceive of. Because, yeah, you're Malachim, and you can't conceive. You have no Yesahara, but we tack and need the Torah precisely for that reason. So miyad kol echad be'echad nasa le'oyhev. So right away now, all the Malachim who previously were arguing with Moshe Rabbeinu and saying that he shouldn't receive the Torah, now every one of them became a friend of Moshe Rabbeinu, u'moso lo'idover, and each of the malachim now gave Moshe some kind of gift. Shanema, as the Pasuk says, in Kapitel Samaches, which, as we said yesterday, Kapitel Samaches talks all about Matan Torah. It's the Kapitel 4 Shavuos. And the Pasuk says, Olisa l'morim, you went up to heaven, Shavisa Shevi, you took captives, representing the Torah, which, so to speak, Moshe had to capture from Shemayim over the objections of the Malachim. Lokasta matonis ba'adam, you took presence in person, in the person. So what does that last part mean? The schar shekor ucha adam, for the schar that the Malachim were calling you, your stam, a human being, cherfucha, as Rashi says, they made fun of you. They said, no, you're stam, a person, you're made from dirt, you're adam, aloshan adama, you're a lowly thing. And in the schar that they called him that, and nevertheless he was able to defeat their arguments, lakastam atonis, and that course you were able to get presents because they made it up to you by giving you presents. Af malchamavus masal ajaver. In fact, also the malchamavus gave Moshe a present. Kenemar, as we find later on in Parshas Korach, you have it says after Korach and his people were swallowed up in the ground and burned and whatever. You have the Jewish people complain. After Mamita and Asam Hashem, you're causing Jews to die, and a plague broke out, and then Jews are dying until Moshe tells Aaron take a pan and offer Torah. And the pasuk says, he offered the Torah and made kapara for the people. And then the pasuk continues, he stood between the dead and the living, and he stopped the magesa. The point is, he loved the Amalei and he have a yoga. And now, if the Malachamavet had not previously told Moshe of this concept that you can use Ketoros in order to stop a plague, how would Moshe have known it? So therefore, we see that the Malachamavet told it to Moshe. Now, Marsha and a lot of other Achronim ask, what kind of a question is that? I mean, is every single thing that Hashem told to Moshe written in Torah Shabbat? And we have thousands of details of Torah that are only in Torah about that. So maybe the same thing. Maybe Hashem told Moshe this detail, and then when it comes time, it's written down on the poster. So why should we assume that? What do we mean if the Malacham Mavis had not told it to Moshe, then how could Moshe possibly have known? There are many ways that Hashem could have told it to Moshe directly. Some of our short talks about one thing is that you have in Rashi on the Pesukim over there explains that Rashi on the Pesukim explains over there that when Aaron is doing this, then the Malachim Lovis says, how could you do this? How could you interfere with my mission? And he tells him, Moshe sent me. What do you mean Moshe sent you? I'm on a mission from Hashem. You're telling me you're on a mission from a boss of a dom, and you have to take him to Moshe, et cetera. If Hashem had told it to Moshe in the first place, and the Malachim Lovis has no leg to stand on, what do you mean you're only a shliach of Moshe? You received it as a mitzvah like any other. So that's one explanation. Ben Yoyada and Rabbi Yaakov Emden and a couple of others give a different answer, that if Hashem himself gave the Malachim Lovis the job of bringing the Magefa, then Hashem is not also at the same time going to be telling Moshe how to stop that Magefa, because that wouldn't be fair. Hashem is giving the Malachim Lovis a job, and then he's telling how to break that. So therefore, it has to be that the Malachim Lovis himself had previously told that to Moshe, and now Moshe is able to put that to good use. Okay, now Rabbi Shurban Levi says another thing relating to Matan Torah. The Shosh Yorad Moshe Melifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when Moshe came down from being in front of Hashem and receiving the Torah, Bas Satan V'Omer Lefanav, so the Satan came and says to Hashem, Ribbono Shel Torah Heichan, where is the Torah? Now, what do you mean, where is the Torah? Didn't he know of Matan Torah? Tosfos actually brings from a medrash that, in fact, Hashem, so to speak, got rid of the Malach HaMavis temporarily. Hashem removed him from the scene in order precisely that he doesn't make a kisrug and say, look, you know, Hashem, you know the future. You know that the Jewish people are yet going to make an eagle. How you talking? You're giving them the Torah. So therefore, Hashem removed him from the scene beforehand. So therefore, according to Tosfos, he literally didn't know. But we'll talk soon again about other possibilities. Amalon is a pielaret. So Hashem tells him, I gave it to the earth. Okay, holach eitzel eretz. So the Satan went to the earth. He went to the Malach in charge of the earth. Now the earth itself is inanimate. The earth itself and the other things that we're going to mention are not themselves able to speak. So when we talk about that a person talked to the earth or that someone talked to the earth or the next one he talked to the Yam or whatever, it means he talked to their respective Malachim. The star of the earth, right? He goes to the star of the earth. Amala Torah Hechemi. Where is the Torah? Amrloi. So the Malach, the earth itself, whatever, answers him with the words of a pasuk in Iyev. Elikim Haven Darkel, whatever. Hashem understands this way as the pasuk continues. But who Yabias Mekayma? Hashem knows the place of the Torah. I have no idea. Holach Eto Yam. He goes to the Yam or the star of the Yam. But Amrloi Ein Imodi. The Yam says it's not with me. Holach etzel tohoim. He goes to the depths. Amalai ein bi, and he says it's not by me either. Shenema, as the pasuk says, you know, that in that same capital in Iyov, the previous part, couple of psukim earlier, tohoim amalai bihi. The depths say it's not in me. The yam omer ein imadi, and the sea says it's not with me. And then the pasuk continues, which implying that then the Satan went to talk to Gehenim, Avadon Umavet means destruction and death, which represents Gehenim. So he went to ask it. And also, as the pasuk continues, Avadon Umavet Omru, Avadon Umavet, destruction, the powers in the world of destruction and death, meaning Gehenim, meaning Kolchaz HaTorah and whatever, say, Omru, they say, Ba'ozneinu Shamanu Shima, we heard with our ears about it. We heard that Matan Torah took place, but we don't know exactly what happened. So we don't know. So the Malach HaMavet is at a dead end. Chazav Amal Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so the Malach HaMavet, the Satan comes back to Hashem. He comes back and says, Ribbono Shel Olam, Chipasti B'chol Ha'aretz, I'm searching throughout the whole world, and even in Gehenim and whatever, V'loim V'tasiyah, and I'm not finding it. What do you mean? I gave it to the earth. Amal Loi, Hashem tells him, Leich Eto Ben Amram. Go to Ben Amram, he can tell you. Why Hashem is calling him Ben Amram, which usually is a bit of a derogatory name, let's finish the story and then we'll talk about what Marsha says and what other Mefarshim say. Holach Eitzel Moshe, so the Satan comes to Moshe, and notice the difference also, by the way, that Hashem told him go to Ben Amram, and he goes to Moshe. Why the difference? Marsha talks about, we'll get to. Amalai, and he asked him, Torah Shemnasa Macha HaKadosh Baruch HaHechemi, this Torah that Hashem gave you, where is it? Amalai, the Moshe, pretends like he doesn't know. What do you think I am that Hashem gave me the Torah? Amalai HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe, so Hashem says to Moshe, Moshe Badoyata, what are you, a liar? You know I gave you the Torah. Amalafonov, so Moshe says, Ribbono Shel Olam, Chamuda Gnuza Yeshlecha, you have this precious hidden away treasure that you have, the Torah, Shata Mishtasheya B'Chol Yom, you, so to speak, play with it and enjoy it every day. You have Psukim and Mishlei that refer to, we have the famous pasuk, the Eya Shashuri Mufonov, that the Torah is like Hashem's plaything, so to speak. Ani Achuk Tovala Asmi. So Moshe says, should I take credit for myself and say that I received the Torah? Amalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe, so Hashem says to Moshe, Hoyol Mi'af Ta'asmacha, since you made yourself small, you're saying as though you don't deserve to receive the Torah, Pikorei Al Shimcha. Therefore, the Torah from now on will be called by your name. Shenema, as you have the end of Malachi, which is actually the end of the whole Nevi'im, Zichru Torah Moshe Avdi Nevi'im, remember the Torah of my servant Moshe. So we see the Torah is called the Torah of Moshe, in the source of this, that he made himself humble. So what is going on over here? So aside from what Tosfos is saying, that the Satan Taka wasn't there when the Torah was given, Achron and Mefarshim asked the question, though. The fact of the matter is, we know the Gemara tells us in Bava Basra, who Satan, who Yetzirah, who Malach HaMavis. So he wears several different hats. And he just said before the Malach HaMavis gave Moshe a present when he received the Torah, that he gave him the secret that Torah stopped the plague. So what do you mean he doesn't know? So what do you mean he doesn't know what's going on over here? So Marsha starts by explaining that what it means is this is all part of the Kisrub. We had before the Malachim were being Makasrig and saying, how could the Torah be given to human beings down here on earth? And okay, Moshe defeated that argument. But now, the Sultan still wants another shot at it. He's saying, okay, fine, so the Jewish people receive the Torah, but they're never going to be able to keep it. They're never going to be able to understand all of it. It doesn't belong. Hashem, what do you mean you gave the Torah? What do you mean you gave the Torah? I know you gave it to earth when they're not going to be able ultimately to keep it and to fully understand it and everything. And he's asking, where in the world could even fit the Torah? There you have the expression in the pasuk, Arucha me'eref mida. The Torah is larger than the world. So what do you mean you gave it to the world? Where is it going to fit in the world? Hashem tells him, I gave it to Eretz. So he goes to the star of Eretz, and the Eretz says, you're right, actually the Torah would not fit in the Gashmiistic world. So therefore, loy bihi, it's not in me. He goes to the Yam, which is bigger than the dry land, and also it's not in me, because even Uruchava mini Yam, as the pasuk continues, Aruchama Eretz Midah, Uruchava mini Yam, the Torah is wider than the ocean. He goes to Gehenim, which Gehenim is actually, the Gemara mentions elsewhere, is larger than the earth. Therefore, on the face of it, the Torah could fit there. And still, the Sar of Gehenim tells him that we don't have the Torah, we don't have the Torah by us. So he goes back to Hashem. There's no place in the Gashmiistic world that's going to be able to fit the Torah. So what do you mean you gave it to earth? So Hashem tells him, go to Ben Amram. Now, why Ben Amram? So Hashem wants to remind the Sultan, listen over here. You know that there were four people in history who the only reason they died, the Gemara tells us in Baba Basra, is the Echya Shel Nachash, is because of the Chesed with the Nachash HaKadmoni, because of the Chesed Etadat, and therefore because of that, all human beings have to die. One of them is Amram. Go to Ben Amram, Moshe, who was the son of Amram, who was on that high level. His father was like a malach, where the malach HaMavis had no power over him. You can find out from him how the Torah can be in the physical world. But instead, the malach HaMavis, the Sultan rather, ignores that kind of, he ignores that implication in what Hashem's saying, and he just goes to Moshe. To Moshe like to any other human being. And he asks him, where's the Torah? And specifically again, Marshall says the argument over here, like the argument with the Malachim before, is again about Sodas HaTorah. So Moshe says, you're actually right. The Sodas HaTorah, Taka, are something beyond human ability to understand. So like who am I that Hashem would give me the secrets of Torah that are too deep for human beings to understand? And Hashem says to Moshe, what do you mean? What do you mean you can't? You can receive the whole Torah, including the Nister. I gave you before, Shapira Shaka Niziv Shechina, so I stretched out my Shechina over you, which means that you have the capability also through your Neshama, which is attached to the Kisei HaKavod, to be able to receive the Torah. And it's still Moshe is saying, but I shouldn't be taking credit. I'm just a human being. I shouldn't be taking credit that you gave the secrets of the Torah to me. And Hashem says, therefore, that because of that, I'm going to say the whole Torah, including Sodas HaTorah, is going to be called by the name of Moshe Rabbeinu. So that's the back and forth that's going on over here. Another point some other Mephoshim make is that particularly the Sultan was making this whole argument and this whole back and forth was going on after the Luchos were broken. After Moshe had to break the Luchos by the Chet Ha'egel. So now the Sultan is able to come to Hashem and say, the Torah that you gave to earth, where is it? Like, look at that. You know, you gave the Torah to earth and now it ended up getting broken. You should have kept it in Shemayim in the first place. And the whole back and forth is to explain that, after all, nevertheless, the Torah still belongs by Ben Amram, by Moshe Rabbeinu, there was that setback, there was the breaking of the Luchos, but nevertheless, it still doesn't belong in Shemayim, it doesn't belong in Gashmiistik Eretz, or in the sea, or in Gehenim, or whatever, it belongs by Ben Amram, and then the Jewish people whom he's going to teach. The fact of the matter is, the Sultan also knows the importance of the Torah. Remember, the Sultan is a malach like any other. He's just a malach that has a bad job, you know. But he also knows the importance of the Torah. He knows it's Chochmas of the Torah Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He knows the blueprint of the world, et cetera, et cetera.
You said previously two things. One thing, that the malachim are not jealous of each other. The other thing, that malachim are jealous of human beings. So we see from that that malachim are not totally spiritual creatures. They understand what jealousy is. They have at least this midah, maybe others. So,
well, one
they
second.
Have...
One second, where do you get that jealousy is not a ruchniyistic midah? Jealousy is a midah. Sometimes jealousy can be used for good purposes, it can be used for bad purposes, but whatever it is, we're not talking about jealousy of physical accomplishments or physical possessions or whatever. We're talking about jealousy of, for example, you have over there that the earth should have more things or more days on which Hashem created things on it than Shemayim, then that would cause jealousy. That they see that Yaakov is on the level where his face is on the Kisei HaKavod, that kind of thing makes them jealous. We're not talking about they're not jealous because a person has a lot of money or because he's strong or whatever. Yeah, those are gashmi sticker things. Those malachim don't care about, but they care about ruchni sticker things.
Okay.
What do you mean? What's the meaning of jealousy to them that Yaakov has his face on the kisei HaKavod?
First of all, let's not spend too long on this. But what is the meaning of jealousy? After all, the jealousy is Pliny has something, I don't have it, I want it. Now, when it comes to a gashmiistic thing, we know even by us human beings, there's a difference between a destructive kind of jealousy, lois sachmei beis reecha, lois sachmei eishes reecha, versus kinas soifrim chai b'chosma, because there's a difference between jealousy of gashmiistic things, where ultimately it's zero sum. If you have X, then I don't have X, and therefore for me to be jealous of you having X is wrong. As the Sefer Achinuch says, you should realize the fact that Hashem puts that in the other person's possession means you consider it completely off limits to yourself. So therefore, there's no reason to be jealous of it. Mashenkin, when you have ruchniyistik things, where he can have it and you can have it, because you having a particular ruchniyistik advantage doesn't take it away from him, and vice versa, then by all means, be jealous, and that kind of jealousy is a positive thing. So therefore, so yes, the malachim can have that kind of positive jealousy, and that's what we're talking about. They don't have that between each other because each malach is malachim. Basically, you have to realize are one dimensional. A malach of chesed is only chesed, a malach of gura is only gura, etc. So therefore, for example, a chesed malach has no reason to be jealous of a gura malach. Fine, his thing is completely different. I don't know what gura is, I have nothing to do with it. But a human being who's made up of all the different midas, a human being has chesed and gura and teferet and whatever, so the malachim can be jealous of the chesed that a person has, where therefore, you know, I should have that aspect of chesed, kind of, or whatever. Okay, let's go on. When Moshe went up to Har Sinai, he found Hashem was tying crowns onto the letters. These are the tagim that we have. We know there are seven letters that have three tagim each shot in his get. There are six letters that have one tag each. There are nine letters that have no tagim at all. So Hashem is and you have, for example, the Rambam mentions in Hilchos Tefillin and Mezuzah, the Sefer Torah, that there are supposed to be certain places in the Tefillin and the Mezuzah that have extra tagim. You can find in some ancient Sefer Torah you have like that. So Hashem is putting all these tagim on the letters. Omaloi. So Moshe just sees Hashem doing that. Amaloi, Hashem says to Moshe, Moshe ain shalom b'ircha. Don't they say shalom in your city? You should be telling me shalom. Amalafanov. So Moshe and so Moshe says, Klum yesh eved shenoyt in shalom l'rabbi. Is it respectful for an eved to initiate a greeting to his rebbe? To his master, meaning now we have, of course, throughout Shas that Talmud is supposed to say Shalom Alecha Rebbe or whatever, but that's when the Rebbe addresses him first, then he answers with Shalom Alecha. But not that it's a little bit chutzpahdik for the Talmud to initiate the greeting. We actually learned about it in Brachas, that the expression in the Gemara over there was that the Hanoisin Shalom Rabbi causes the Shechina to leave the Jewish people. So like the Talmud or whatever, the subordinate is not supposed to initiate the greeting. It shows like he's putting himself on equal level with his master, with his Rebbe, whatever. Amaloi, so Hashem tells him, Hoyolachala Azrein. But you should at least help me. You should say you should be successful in your work. Now, what does that mean? What do we need to give Hashem success? Let's finish the story and then we'll talk about it. Miyad, so right away, meaning the next, Rashi explains, the next time that Moshe was up on Har Sinai talking to Hashem, Onan and Hasina, the next time that Moshe was, was talking with Hashem, Omalai says to him about the story of the Meraglim, but after Yigdam Lakaya Hashem Kasha Dibarta, now let the power of Hashem be great as you have spoken. So in other words, like Moshe is saying, now, a year later, at the time of the story of the Meraglim, that you told me at the time that Hoyalachol Azrin, so now I'm putting that into action and I'm saying that Hashem's power should be greater. Okay. So what is going on over here? What does Hashem need shalom from Moshe? And what's this business about that Hashem, that he has to tell Hashem that you should have greater power? So Marsha talks about like this. First of all, as far as the crowns, we know from the Gemara tells in Menachos, the Gemara tells the story a little different and much differently over there, and it says that in particular the crowns are meant to darshan different details and different sodas of Torah. It says over there that Rabbi Akiva had the ability to do that, to darshan from each of the crowns, he would learn out mounds and mounds of halachas. So Hashem is doing over that. Hashem tells him that you should. Well, why aren't you giving me shalom and hoyo l'chol azreini? Meaning, in other words, that when the tzaddikim speak, they give, so to speak, they give Hashem more power because the avoda of the nevroim gives Hashem, so to speak, more power to be able to run the world. So therefore, Hashem is telling him that hoyo l'chol azreini, and Moshe realizes that. So one thing is that the Rebbe once talked about in a sicha, an idea behind it, that when Moshe comes up and he says, and Hashem tells him, why aren't you giving me shalom? We said before the Torah was given on Shabbos, while the Torah is connected with Shabbos, we said a few days ago, because the Torah brings peace to the world, because the world was nervous until it received the Torah. So now Hashem is telling Moshe, so what do you think? Now that you're up in Shemayim, where everything is at peace, now you don't have to have shalom, you don't have to keep on becoming greater and greater in level. And you have to strengthen things up in Shemayim as well. Don't think that in Shemayim everything is static. Yes, the Malachim themselves are static. They're Ungim, they're not Mahalchim, but nevertheless, you still need to, you are up here in Shemayim, you still need to be going to higher levels and bringing to higher levels in other courses. And therefore, so he tells him, V'after Yigdam L'Chayach Hashem. Om Rabbi Sherman Levi, here's another, V'omar actually, Rabbi Sherman Levi, here's another thing. Now let's turn to the Chet Meraglim. What does it mean? To the Chet Eidol. It says the people saw that Moshe was delayed and they got nervous and they made the Eidol. Boshesh means late. Yes. The same Shodesh does mean embarrassed, but over here that's not what it means. It means late. But the question is that you find in other psukim that when someone is late, it uses the word boish, not boishesh. So therefore, the Gemara wants to darshan what the word means. I'll take it boishesh ela boushesh. Not boishesh, but boushesh. The sixth hour of the day has come, which means noon. What happened? B'shal she'ala Moshe l'amorim. When Moshe went up to Har Sinai, Amalahem Yisrael, so he tells the Jewish people, L'soif aboy yem etchilas sheish anibah, I will be back in 40 days, after 40 days, at the beginning of the sixth hour, meaning at noon, if you have the hours go from Netzachama until Shkia, Shoz Manias, or Alois Hashacha until Tetzach Chavim, according to the Magen Avraham, whatever it is, 6 hours into the day is exactly the middle of the day, is Chassois, that's when I'm coming down from Har Sinai. What happened? Was so mem yom bas sotan ve'ir b'vasa olam. When the 40 days were open. So Rashi explains the calculation like this: Moshe went up to Har Sinai on Zion Sivan. Now, even if we take the view that the Torah was given on Vav Sivan, it was the next day that Moshe went up to start the 40 days and to receive the luchos. Now, that first day does not actually count toward the 40 days. Rashi explained because it was during the day. It was the night. The night was not part of it because he wasn't yet on Har Sinai then. So therefore, so what was supposed to be therefore would be so it should be like this. There should be then, if you don't count the 7th of Sivan, Sivan is 30 days. You should have then 23 days remaining in Sivan, from Ches to Lamed, 17 of Tammuz, and 23. Well, 17 is 40, and he's going to come down on the 40th day, which is Shivas of the Tammuz. Instead, the Jewish people mistakenly understood that the days start from the day before, to start from Zion Sivan, and therefore the 40th day is Zion Sivan, and when Moshe didn't come back until Zion Sivan by noon, then they got all nervous. Turns this question back that actually the Zion Sivan should count as one of the 40 days. The Tosfos doesn't actually get into Tosfos over here doesn't actually get into the details of how we should calculate the 40 days, but they learn that it should be calculated somewhat differently. Anyway, so L'sos Mem Yom Bas Satan Ve'Irbavas Olam. At the end of 40 days, the Satan came and mixed up the world, meaning he made it look like everything's confused, and Moshe is gone. Amalahan Moshe Rab Sem Hechavu. He says to them, "Where is Moshe, your master?" Amalai Olal Amorim. They said he went up to Shemayim. Amalahan, he says, "Bo Shesh." Well, 6 hours have already come, and he's not back yet, so therefore, obviously, he's not available. Well, Yishkichu Olav, and the Jewish people didn't pay any attention. Okay, so he's running a little bit late. He's 40 years, after all. He's running a little bit late. He said to them, he's dead. But still, the Jewish people didn't pay any attention to him. So then the Satan pulled out his trump card. He showed them that they showed them Moshe's coffin. Seeing is a lot power, is a lot more powerful than hearing. So once they saw, then that already had an effect on them. Behind the army, well, Aaron keeps their Moshe Ishvagama. That's what they say to Aaron. This man Moshe, meaning this, there always means Marabes Boy, but Omer Zeh, you're able to point with your finger and say this. So they're literally pointing at the image of Moshe's coffin that the Satan is showing them, like, look, Moshe is gone, and therefore we need a different Mimusa between us and Hashem, and therefore they made the eagle. So the word Boshesh means Boshesh, that 6 hours came. So therefore, Vayara Amki Boshesh Moshe, they saw that 6 hours had come, and therefore now they were more susceptible to the Satan tricking them.
How can I explain that?
Right. And really, what it was supposed to be is Moshe was supposed to come down the next day.
Aaron couldn't explain it.
Oh, no. I guess Aaron, There is, by the way, a verse. I don't remember the source of it. So it says over there. Aaron tells them, "Chag Hashem Mocher." Tomorrow will be a Yom Tov to Hashem, which in the simple sense he's trying to delay them that they shouldn't start offering korbanos until tomorrow. There's an idea, and it's brought in Sforim that he means tomorrow is Shivat Batamuz. Because of this that happened, it's going to be a fast day. But Mocher, long in the future, Yesh Mocher L'Achazman, it will be a Yom Tov because when Mashiach comes, all the fast days that have to do with the Churban will be turned into Yom Tov. Have you heard any explanation why the mountain is called Har Sinai? Omalei, so Rav Kahana says, Harish and Nasabah Nisim Yisrael. It's the mountain where Nisim happened to the Jewish people. Which Nisim, Ben Yoyada says specifically, we learned about yesterday that when each time the Hashem said one of the Dibros, then the Neshamas of the Jewish people left them, and Hashem had to revive them with the Dew of Tchiyat HaMesim. But therefore, that's what it means, those Nisim. And he says, "How Nisoi me by the way," and that says it shouldn't be called Har Sinai. It should be called Har Nisai. Ella, how should Nasa Simon Tov Yisrael? Okay, so Rav Kahana offers another possibility. Maybe it means it's a mountain which became a good simon for the Jewish people. Problem is, Har Simonoi me by the way. In that case, it should be called Har Simonoi. Meloshin Simon. Omalei, so he says to him, the pastor Rav Kahana says to the Ahumei Abonon, maybe the other way around, whatever. My timer, lo shchichas kamei de rapapa ve rabhuna brei de vishua, why aren't you regularly learning by rapapa and rabhuna brei de vishua? De ma'ayni ba'agadja, they analyze agadja a lot, and they have an answer to it. De rabchista ve rabhuna brei de vishua, de rabchista ve rabhuna brei de rabhuna, de amitabayu. Interesting, in the previous line it said Rav Huna Bereid Rav Yeshua. Here it says Rav Bereid Rav Huna. So maybe different Gersoys, maybe the copyist got it wrong, I don't know, whatever. Anyway, they both say, my Har Sinai, why is the mountain called Har Sinai? Har Sheyorda Sina La'akum Olav, the mountain on which there came down hatred for the Goyim. So Rashi explains that means that Hashem hates the Goyim for not accepting the Torah. Hashem offered it to them. They all turned it down. They all turned it down, as in the famous Medrash and the famous song. So now, when Hashem gave it to the Jewish people and they accepted it and said, Nasim Nishma, so now Hashem resents the Goyim for that, but they didn't do the same thing. That's one explanation. The Rambam in Igeres Teimon gives a whole different explanation. The Rambam is explaining to the Jews of Teman over there, who are having all kinds of terrible problems. They have an anti-Semitic king, and they have a false Mashiach, and they have a this and a that and the other. And the Rambam is writing a whole letter to them to strengthen their emunah. And in the course of it, he explains to them what it means. Or Gemara over here, Shiyoda Sina La'akumolav, as a result of that Hashem gave us the Torah, is why there's anti-Semitism in the world. The Goyim couldn't care less about us if it weren't for the fact that they're jealous because we have the Torah and they don't. As a matter of fact, the desert where the Torah was given has five names, and each one of those names has meaning. Midbar Tzin, the desert is called Midbar Tzin, Shinitztavu Yisrael, all of it, because that was where the Jewish people received Tzivuyim, Tzin, Meloshin Tzivuy, that they received commandments from Hashem there. Midbar Kodesh, it's also called Midbar Kodesh. Now, Tosfos points out that actually these seem to be different parts of the desert. They don't all seem to be the same area. So Tosfos explains it's actually one big Midbar. It is actually one big Midbar. It does have different areas in it. But nevertheless, the Gemara is doubting because it's all parts of one big desert area. Therefore, like the names are kind of interchangeable, even though geographically they actually refer to different parts of the desert. Okay, so Midbar Tzin Shinitztavu Yisrael, all of the Jewish people received mitzvahs there. Midbar Kodesh Shinitzkadshu Yisrael, all the Jewish people became holy over there. Midbar Kedemos, in Parshas Bamidbar, you have Moshe says, I sent messengers to Sichon from Midbar Kedemos. That's Shinitna Keduma, all of the Torah which preceded the world, as we said before, it existed before the world was created, that was given in that Midbar, therefore it's called Midbar Kedemos. Midbar Paran, it's also called Midbar Paran. Because the Jewish people were fruitful and multiplied in that desert. Meaning, Rashi says, we learned before that after Matan Torah, Hashem said to the Jewish people, Shuvu lachem la'aleichem, return to your tents, which is also permission that they can now have relations with their wives after they were separated for 3 days. And Rashi brings that when that happened, so each one of them, their wives became pregnant and afterwards they had a baby boy. So Rashi says, I don't know where there's a remez to that in the pasuk. So you have different mafoshim talk about, for one thing, because it says shuvu lachem la'aleichem, lachem implies for your own benefit. So, and then to have a zachar is a benefit. Now, obviously, what must have happened is in some other time, you must have had, in some other year, they had more girls than boys. Otherwise, you have a big shidduch crisis. Ben Yehoyada, by the way, points out an interesting point. He says, so what happened to Flachbud? He had only daughters. Wasn't he there by Matan Torah? He shows over there from the Pesukim. He was there by Matan Torah. He was already married. So how is it that his wife didn't? So he says, okay, it could happen. Look, I mean, after Matan Torah, some of the women may have become nida. And then, they missed the opportunity. Look, I mean, you can't have relations with her if she's in Nida. So therefore, there were certain people. So when we say kol echad be'echad, when Rashi says kol echad, it's abrishti, means anyone where they were able to have relations. You could have had people that not. Also Ben Yehoyada says that Hashem arranged that specifically. It should be that way in order that these benois tzlachot who loved Eretz Yisrael so much should get a portion in it, etc. Anyway.
The
Gemara mentions in Baba Basra that the youngest, when they came to Moshe, when Bnei Menashe came to Moshe at the very end of Chumash Bamidbar, and they say to Moshe, there's a problem with Bnei Tzlachot marry outside the Shevet, then their Nachla is going to end up going to a different Shevet. And Moshe says, the din is that they can only marry within their Shevet. The Gemara explains over there that the youngest of them was already 40 years old at the time. So all of them were born before Matan Torah, because that happened in the 40th year. So all of them were born before Matan Torah. What we're saying is over here that even though but Tzlachot did not end up having a son. So again, Ben Yehoyada says that, okay, what happened was his wife was Nida on that night, and therefore they couldn't, and it was Min HaShemayim in order that the girls should get their place in Eretz Yisrael. Okay. Anyway, and the fifth name, Midbar Sinai, another name is Midbar Sinai, because as we said, Shiyoda Sina La'akumolav, because hatred of the Goyim came down on it. Again, according to Rashi, that Hashem hates the Goyim for not accepting the Torah, and according to the Rambam, that the Goyim hate us, that we did accept the Torah. And what is the actual real name of the mountain? It's called Chorev. So therefore, so you actually have, so in other words, we actually said five names, now we mentioned six. What it means is the actual proper name of the mountain is Chodesh, and then you have, it has these various names to represent these different things. Yeah, by the way, some of the Mefoshim on the Pesukim can explain differently, that the basic name of the mountain is Sinai, and then Chodesh means dryness, because it was in a dry area, whatever. The point is it has one real name, and then it has a bunch of nicknames representing these different things. The Gemara says, "Pligas Rav Abahu." So actually, yeah, this last statement disagrees with Rav Abahu. "Jamar Rav Abahu Har Sinai Shmoi." Rav Abahu says, like those other Mefoshim say, that the proper name of the mountain is Har Sinai. The Lama Nikra Shmoi Har Chorev. Why is it called Har Chorev? She wrote a Churva LaAchol, because destruction for the Goyim came down on it. Because eventually, as the Gemara tells us in Avodah Zarah, eventually there's going to be that Hashem judges the nations and decides what did they accomplish. What did they accomplish for the world? And each one of them is going to be they accomplished many big things for civilization, but none of them did they do it for the sake of the Jewish people and the sake of the Torah, and therefore they don't deserve any reward, and therefore they deserve punishment for everything they did to the Jewish people over time. So that all began by Har Chorev. That process begins when Hashem gave the Torah. That when they do it for them, right? They may accomplish things that are good for us, but they do them for themselves, right? Not with the proper intention in mind, right? By the way, you have some of the Mefoshim on the Pesuk point out that if we say, as the second version of the Gemara over here, as Rav Abahu is saying, that the proper name of the place is Har Sinai, so why Taka? It would be because of the sneh. This is the sneh that Moshe saw over there, the burning bush. And b'chol, you have sneh plants grow around there. So it's a very well-known thing. Some of us have seen it. Some of us may have seen it. I thought my fourth grade Rebbe one time showed us. If you take a rock from that, there's a certain mountain that is widely accepted to be Har Sinai. And the rocks from there, actually, if you look at them, they have embedded throughout the rock are little things shaped like bushes. So literally, you have the rocks of Har Sinai have a snare in them. And if you break open the rock, you'll find more inside. Yeah, if you break open the rock, and you find on the new surfaces that are created by the break, you'll find little images of bushes like that embedded throughout the rock. It's an old thing. It's already brought by the Rishonim by Rishonim who visited that area, and then by Achronim. Yeah. It's a mountain in the Sinai Peninsula nowadays, unfortunately, since Israel gave it back to Egypt many years ago. So now it's in Egypt. You have to cross the border to get there, but it's a known mountain. They have a monastery on top of it, whatever, but yeah. Hey.
Who praised the Romans for building bridges and...
That was Rabbi Yehuda. We talked about that earlier when we learned that story in the second paragraph, that Rabbi Yehuda is saying, never mind their motivations. Sure, their motivations may have been selfish and whatever, but the fact is they did accomplish useful things. And Rabbi Shimon is saying, never mind the fact that you do have to look at their motivations, and their motivations were selfish. And you have in Avodah Zarah, in the Masechta Avodah Zarah at the beginning, where it describes the judgment that Hashem does of the nations over there. So you have that kind of thing where the Romans come forth and say, we built bridges and we built this and that and the other, and Hashem says, okay, but you all did it for your own selfish reason, not even though it helped the Jewish people, but you didn't do it for that reason, and therefore you don't deserve any reward for that, and so forth with all the other nations. Okay, so now we're done with the topic of Matan Torah. Now getting back to the Mishnah that said, "Minayin shekoshrin loshen shel zahoras chola." We said, how do we know that you tie a string dyed red onto the sorla zazel? And then in Yuma, the Gemara tells us that when they threw the soil azazel off the cliff, then the string would turn white. Yeah. So that and the Mishnah brings in that connection the pasuk im yu chataechem kashonim, if you avera, so like scarlet kashelag yalbinu, they become white like snow. So the Gemara is telling us on that word kashonim. Kashonim, by the way. Usually the word in Tanakh is shoni, means scarlet. What's shonim in the plural? Scarlet means a red, meaning the red dye. But usually it's shoni, like telach shoni. Why is shonim over here? It means Amar Yitzchak, Amar Lahem HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael, means Hashem is telling the Jewish people, Im yu hata'echem kashonim halolo, shes durit deboris b'sheshes mebereshes v'adachem, even if you are averus, or like these years, shoni meaning years, where you have time is constantly going on from sheshes and ebereshes until on. Even if the averus are a constant, ongoing thing, nevertheless, kashelag yalbinu, they can still become white like snow. So what does that mean? Different mafoshim talk about different possibilities. One of them is the Maharal, for example, talks about the Tzaddik, or Tzaddik HaKoyen talks about in a similar vein that it means even if you find an individual Yid or collectively Jewish people that are doing Averis on an ongoing basis, it looks like it's embedded into their nature as much as time is embedded into the nature of the world. Nevertheless, it's still not the essential nature of the Yid, even though it looks like it's completely, he's doing Averis his whole life. Nevertheless, the fact is that's not the essence of who the Yid is, and therefore Hashem can still clean up, the Averis and allow the original Nefesh HaLakis to shine through. There's also an idea some of the person talk about. Now you have, for example, different stages in a person's life. A person is more susceptible to different kinds of abeis. A person is younger, for example, they're more likely to have privates for znus, let's say. A person is older, usually that kind of thing calms down. Mashenkin, let's say, for example, a taiva for earning money dishonestly is something that a person is less likely to have when they're a kid and much more likely when they're an adult. So you have, so to speak, like if the Averis are Siduris Tashanim Alolu, like they go in order, like you have at a certain stage in a person's life, he's doing the Averis that he's more susceptible to at that time, fine, then Hashem says I can tolerate that and I can forgive that. So that's all, look, you know, I mean, you know, to a certain extent, it's a bit of an onus that I created a human being with that nature. But if you have, let's say, for example, that an old person is still into Znus, so the Gemara actually mentions in Tzachim, things that Hashem hates. One of them is tackled like that, Zok and Minayas, and you have a couple of others, then Hashem says that I'm not willing to tolerate, because that's the person is doing that to himself. Okay. My dichtiv, what does it mean, the beginning of that same pasuk? So the pasuk is, in the beginning of that pasuk begins, Hashem says, let go now, and let's argue, says Hashem. So what do you mean, go? Come to me, and let's argue about what's going on over here. Yoimer Hashem, what do you mean Hashem will say? Omer Hashem, it should be Hashem says. Hashem has said that you should come and let's figure out what's going on over here. Now, what it means is, Rav says, well, also love Yoimer Lahem HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael, in the future, before Mashiach comes, Hashem will tell the Jewish people, L'chu na etzel abiteichem, go to your forefathers. So that's why it's L'chu, not boyu, not come to me, but go to your others. And they will give you mussar, they will give you toichacha for what you're doing wrong. The Yom Rulafanav and the Jewish people are then going to say to Hashem Rebbeinu Shalom, Eisel Minelech, which of the others do you want us to go to? Eisel Abraham, do you want us to go to Abraham? You told Abraham you should be aware, you should know very well that your children are going to be in Golos. And Abraham did not daven for Rachman that we shouldn't have to go into Golos. We don't want to go to Abraham. That he gave Esav a bracha when you find it objectionable that Yaakov is ruling over you, then you're going to throw off his yoke and you're going to become the master. And he didn't daven for Rachamim that we shouldn't have to be under the yoke of Esav. Esav Yaakov, should we go to Yaakov that he should give us Tershacha? You told him I'm going down with you to Mitzrayim, and as the pasuk actually continues, it actually brings the next part of the pasuk. I will also bring you up from gam oloy, and gam oloy is a remez to the other future golos, and not just golos Mitzrayim, but all the future golos. Hashem is hinting to Yaakov there's going to be. And he didn't daven for Rachmanus that we shouldn't have to go into those golos, and we don't want to go to them. So who should we go to now? We don't feel that the others necessarily, like, kind of, you could say, like, it's a harsh to say, but like, we don't feel that others have our best interest in mind. It's a very sharp thing to say, but wait. But then Yomer Hashem, so now Hashem will tell them, because this is all taking place in the future, Rabbi is saying. Omer Lehen HaKadosh Baruch Hu means Hashem is going to say to them, Hoyol Tulisim Ach Mechem Bi. Achshav Yomer Hashem. So now the Yomer Hashem is the Jewish people speaking. Let you, Hashem, tell us the Toichacha. We depend on you. We're not going to accept any Toichacha from the others. We're only going to listen to it from you. So the Chuvan of Nivacha, Hashem tells them, go now and let's argue about this, meaning go to the others, and they respond, Yomer Hashem, we don't want the others, we want you. So now Hashem tells them, since you're relying on me and you show that you're accepting my mussar and my judgment, therefore, in the schos of that, then even if your averus are red like scarlet, then I'll clean them up and they'll be like white snow. one idea is, so what do we mean that the Ovis didn't ask on behalf of the Jewish people? Because the Ovis knew. You have, for example, when it comes to Avraham Avinu, that Hashem, the Medrash says, Hashem gave Avraham Avinu a choice. Are the Jewish people going to go into Golos, or are they going to have to be in Gehenna? And Avraham picked Golos over Gehenna. So fine, he picked that, and it was a valid choice. But now the Jewish people are saying, you know what? In retrospect, maybe he would have done better to be in retrospect. Maybe he would have done better to pick the other way around, or he should have begged Hashem for Rachman, that it should not be either one. And the same thing with Yitzchak, and the same thing with Yaakov. Yes, obviously each of them, there was a purpose in what they said, but nevertheless, we don't want a human perspective, which is limited. We want Hashem's perspective, which is that Hashem sees everything. It doesn't say, but Moshe is not one of the Ovis, per se, but Moshe is a Roya, but that's something else. But another point. Yeah, of course, but that's not the same thing as giving them Musa for the... So, okay, one idea is also, Mephoshim say, that what they mean when they say, we're only coming to you, Yom HaShem, they're saying we're willing to accept whatever judgment you pronounce. We're not willing to accept the judgment of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, but we're willing to accept Hashem's judgment. And therefore Hashem says, okay, so you're depending on me. You're saying that you accept whatever I'm going to give you. Therefore, the schut of that alone, the schut that you're ready to go on the Siddur Nefesh, is enough to forgive your avers. My dichtir, what does it mean in this connection? You have a pasuk in Yeshaya that like this. Ki ata avinu, for you are our father. Ki Avraham lo yada'anu, Avraham does not know us. V'Yisrael lo yakiranu, Yisrael does not recognize us. Yisrael, meaning Yaakov, does not recognize us. Ata Hashem avinu, ge'alenu ma'olam shmecha. You, Hashem, are our father. Your name is always the one who redeems us. So what's going on over here? Why is Yitzchak not in the pasuk? Who is the key asa of Avinu that they're addressing? So that's it. La'asid lava, yom ala HaKadosh Baruch Hu Avraham, in the future, before Mashiach comes, Hashem is going to tell Avraham Avinu, Banecha Chatzuli, your children are doing Averis. What should I do about it? Amar Lefanav, and Avraham answers, Ribbono Shel'olam, Yimachu HaKadosh Shmecha, let them be erased for the Kedusha of your name. Now, on the face of it, what it means is, in other words, that you punish the Rishayim, and that'll make it Kiddush Hashem. A number of the Mephoshim, beginning with Marsha, explain that actually what Avraham may really have meaning by this is not that Hashem should wipe out the Jewish people, Chas v'Shalom, but rather wipe out their Averis. But nevertheless, Hashem doesn't like that answer because it's not clearly stated. Yimachu could equally well be taken to mean destroy the Jewish people, Chas v'Shalom. Omar, so Hashem says, Emer Levi Yaakov, okay, let me instead speak, forget about Abraham, let me speak to Yaakov, Gavalit Sar Gidobonim. Yaakov, after all, had the trouble and the pain of raising the 12 Shvatim, so he'll have more sympathy. Esher Deboi Rachni Alayu, he may have more sympathy for the Jewish people and actually say something clear about what I should do in their benefit. Amalei Banechav Chatu, so he goes to Yaakov and he says, your children have done Averis. Amal Fanav, and Yaakov says the same thing, Rabbanu Shalom, Yimachu Akdush HaShemecha. Omar, so Hashem says, "Loi b'tzavi time of a loi b'dar t'si etza." There's no good reason in the old one, meaning Avraham, and there's no good advice from the young one, meaning Yaakov. Forget about Avraham and Yaakov. Let me try Yitzchak. Omar loi b'Yitzchak b'necha chaturi. So Hashem comes to Yitzchak and says, "Your children are doing avedus. What should I do about it?" Omar l'fanav. So now Yitzchak speaks up on behalf of the Jewish people. Yitzchak, who is Midas Agvura, one interesting explanation is that Midas Agvura itself means that you're always going to be checking into something and seeing, is it valid? So now, when Hashem is coming with a judgment, so now Yitzchak is going to use his Midas Agvura to analyze that and pick that apart and show that it's not as bad as it seems. Another interesting point some of us should make is that we always know, just like, for example, Hashem gave Avraham, Avraham, who was Midas HaChesed, Hashem gave him various tests that involved him overcoming his Midas HaChesed, kicking out Hagar and Yishmael, doing the Akedah, etc. The same thing, Yitzchak, who was Midas HaGvura, Hashem, so to speak, gives him a test to see, is he going to use his Midas HaGvura to also say Yimachu HaKadosh HaShemecha, or is he going to stick up for the Jewish people? And he does. So he says, first of all, Banecha, Banai V'loi Banecha, what do you mean you're calling them my children? Aren't they your children as well? When the Jewish people said Nasa before Nishma, you called them B'ni B'chori, they're my firstborn, B'ni B'chori Yisrael, that you called them my firstborn son, meaning Rashi says that's actually in Parashat Shemot. But you knew in advance that they were going to accept the Torah and that they're also going to make an eagle, and you still called them B'ni B'chori. Now all of a sudden they're my children and not your children. But oid, so your children also, you should be having Rachmanis on them. V'oid, and also Yitzchak says, Tamachotu. Ask all, let's try to figure out how much already Averis did they do. Kamashnoisef Shalodem, how long does an average person live? Shivim Shana, 70 years. Dal Esrin Delay Anshatalai, so subtract 20 years. You don't punish a person during the first 20 years. We find by the Beit HaMidbar, for example, that they only died from 20 years and up. Which, by the way, there's a huge discussion among Achronim about the exact parameters of that. The Chacham Tzvi, for example, has a couple of trivets on this, where he gives four different reasons, where he gives four different explanations what might be going on over here. Maybe it only applies for punishments in Olam Hazeh versus in Olam Haba. Maybe it depends whether the person did tshuva. Maybe it depends what kind of Aveira, et cetera. It's not so simple, but at a certain level, Hashem punishes a person only beginning from 20 years old. So you have b'chlal only 50 years left during which a person is punishable for his affairs. Dal chokhe de leila vasa, subtract 25 years, which makes it the night, because half the day is night and half of it is day. And during the night, the person is less likely to do affairs. Now, that's not always necessarily true. People do affairs at night as well. One thing is, a number of the Mephoshim point out that night over here represents the night of Golos. That when the Jewish people do Avedis and Golos, you can't hold that when there's darkness, when of course is hidden in the world, you can't hold that as much against them. So now you're down to 25. Dal Pauti Sreya Palga, out of that 25, subtract 12 and a half, which is half of 25. The Taluye Ud Mechol Ud Besakite, during that 12, half of the daytime hours, the person ends up, they're davening, they're eating, they're going to the bathroom, so those activities consume half the day. At that point, all you have left is 12 and a half years. 12 and a half years worth of avodah. It cannot be so bad. If you, Hashem, are willing to take that burden and then be willing to tolerate that, mutav, then good. But if not, half will be on me. I'll accept half of it, and you can accept the end, and you can tolerate the other half. Yitzchak is saying, Hashem. One explanation is that we know that there's two things that cause people to do avodah, as the Gemara says in Brachos, so'or shebe'itza v'shibud malchus, that Hashem created us with the Yetzirah and that was subjugated to the Goyim. So Yitzchak is saying, the fact that they have a Yetzirah, Hashem, you have to take responsibility for that. The fact that they're subjugated to the Goyim, I bear a certain responsibility, because I'm the one who told Yitzchak, who gave Esav of the Bracha, v'alchav v'chatichya, so therefore I'm willing to accept that half, and you take on the other half, the intim salayim of kulam alai, or even if you're going to say, I can't tolerate any of it, fine, Yitzchak says, I'm willing to accept that whole burden on myself. Hokravis nafshi kamach. After all, I sacrificed myself. I went to Akedah to be cooked willingly, and I was willing to be killed. So the Jewish people say ki ato avinu to Yitzchak. They're saying, and it says, now we understand the beginning of the pasuk ki ato avinu ki Avraham lo yada'ono v'Yisrael lo yakiranu, means they're saying to Yitzchak, you are our father, you stuck up for us like a father should when Avraham and Yaakov didn't. So Yitzchak says to them, I'm chatting with Kalsin Lee, instead of praising me, Kalsin HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that you should be praising Hashem. When Hashem shows them, and Yitzchak shows them Hashem with their own eyes. So they lift up their eyes, the Jewish people lift up their eyes to Shemayim, and they say, as the passage continues, Ata Hashem Avinu Ge'alenu Ma'olam Shmecha. You, Hashem, are our Father, the one who has always redeemed us. So Yitzchak, that's Yitzchak telling them, you need to praise Hashem. Hashem is the one who saved you, not me. In a number of places in Chassidus, it talks about the idea. In Torah Ur, in a few places, it talks about the idea. Yitzchak is Meloshin Tzchoit, Meloshin Tainog. So what it means is, when we say that the Geula, Hasidah, is going to come in the Tzchot of Yitzchak, because then the real Tainog that Hashem has in his creatures is going to be revealed. So therefore, the Yitzchak is more associated with the Geula than any one of the other others. And we have the Rebbe talked about in various sichas, how we see various aspects of Yitzchak's life, where he was already living in a Mashiachic way more so than the other of us. He lived his entire life in Eretz Yisrael, is only one of them. Yeah. Okay, the Gemara finishes off. Amar Rav Chiya ba'Abba Amar Rav Yechanan, Ro'i Hori Yaakov Avinu Leir B'Mitzrayim B'Shal Shalois Shal Barzel. Yaakov, by rights, should have had to be brought down to Mitzrayim in iron chains. Because Hashem had said that the Jewish people are going to be in Golos Mitzrayim, and he has to come down there regardless. And if that means schlepping him down there in chains, so be it. But Yaakov's schus prevented that from happening and made it that he came down there in a gentle way. As the puzzle says, the Navi says in Hashem's name, I pulled them along with ropes of human beings, meaning for the sake of the, Hashem says, for the sake of the love that I had for the human being, for Yaakov, I brought them down gently in ropes rather than in chains, with thick ropes of love. It also means the love that Yaakov had for Yosef, which caused the whole thing to begin and which eventually brought them all down to Mitzrayim. I acted like somebody who lifts up the yoke over their cheek, meaning Rashi explains, like when you have, when you put a yoke on the animal, instead of just dropping it down hard, a considerate farmer puts it down gently on the animal. So Hashem is saying, I put the yoke of Golus on the Jewish people, but I did it in a gentle way. The af elav oichil, and I gave them, I inclined to them the power of af meloshin hatoya, so inclined to them the power and the ability oichil to be able to stand, lahochil to be able to tolerate, to be able to live through the avodah perach. Hashem is saying how I made it happen in a very gentle way that Yaakov came down to Mitzrayim and I gave them the power to survive that golos, and Hashem similarly gives us the power to survive all the other golosin, but daloi golos, enough with all the golosin already, and we need Mashiach now. Mashiach.
Good to you.